On the show today, we have former banker and now Cornerstone Community Federal Credit Union CEO Eric Hepkins on the program talking about bringing growth lessons from banks to credit unions and a lot more. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have a real treat for you based on a conference I was at a few months ago, the NAFQ Strategic Growth Conference, where I was the moderator on a panelist of former bankers turned credit union folks. So, and one of the panelists was Mr. Eric Hepkins here, who now is the CEO for Cornerstone Community Federal Credit Union. You're in Buffalo, right? We were talking before the recording. So
yes,
up in that
Buffalo,
neck of the woods?
Niagara region, yes.
All right. So you were one of the panelists, and I found the conversation so intriguing, and the Q&A from the audience was one of the best ever that I've seen on a panel. Just I think the curiosity and then just, you know, all the whys and all that type of stuff were just coming at us from all angles. So I thought, hey, let's have you back on. So Eric, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure in Greenville, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be here today with you. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So I think the most original, I think the obvious question is, what brought you to credit unions? Why did you come to this side of the fence, so to speak?
You know, it started as just a search to be a little bit more local. My last position with a bank was with a large multinational, and it was a outstanding organization, but the retail presence in the area that I live in had sort of diminished as they kind of shifted toward different areas of the country and different countries in some instances. Mm-hmm. And so I really just wanted to get back to that local banking scene.
Yep.
I had also spent some time at a community bank, which was a little bit more locally focused. It was a smaller community bank. It was about $1.5 billion in assets and 13 branches, and I really had liked that experience a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, being at the larger organization, had a lot of positives to it. But the one thing that it was really lacking was that connection with the local community.
Yeah.
So I think, this opportunity came up, and when I saw it, it just something sort of clicked in me, and I thought, that would be a really amazing opportunity to kind of, go after and just at least test the waters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started researching credit unions at that point and really sort of diving into the world. And the more I learned, the more I was sort of blown away. I was like, mm-hmm. almost like that, this can't be true, kind of feeling like this really exists, in this format. And so I think that's sort of what brought me over into this space.
Now, I don't want to get too personal here, but I'm just kind of imagining the interview process with the board and with other folks at the credit union. So what was that like? I'm sure one of the obvious questions were like, hey, you're a banker, but you want to work for a credit union. What's the deal here? So
yeah,
I can just imagine
it was quite a process. It was run by a search firm. So
okay.
It was a national search. And, the whole process kind of unfolded over about 6 months. And it kicked off with a great tool. And it really sort of, I had this like long 17 pages questionnaire that I had to, sort of respond to different questions and different ways of handling different situations. And I think that was a great exercise for me because it really forced me to focus in on, why do I really want this? It took it from being, that would be kind of a fun opportunity to explore, to, I got to get really serious about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, this was an in-depth sort of piece of work. I obviously was working full-time at a high-level position with a, large organization that doesn't, leave you a lot of spare time. I have 4 kids, so I'm sitting there nights and weekends and really focusing and dedicating, my attention to this. And it really forced me to kind of think through those types of answers. And I think the thing that, and in reflecting back on it with the board and why they sort of went with me in the end, I think was my emphasis on culture.
Mm-hmm.
I placed, my greatest emphasis with, taking an organization and being successful with it is, really spending, a great deal of my time focused on, building a good, positive culture. Because I think everything else sort of flows from there.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I mean, hearing more and more of the culture, how important the culture is at any type of organization, whether it's a credit union, a bank, or any other industry, the culture's got to be there in order for it to flourish. So I think you're spot on with that. And so now, how long have you been at Cornerstone? And then what are your impressions so far of credit unions being in this, diving deep into this industry now?
So I've been here for about, I think, 15 months.
Okay.
My impression of, you know, both Cornerstone and credit unions in general is, you know, it just continues to get better and better. As mm-hmm. I said, right from the start, where I kind of started having that, you know, feeling of this can't be true, it just continues to kind of, you know, build from there. And it was a real aha moment for me too, at some point early on in taking this role, where I just said, man, I just can't believe more people don't understand what credit unions are about.
Yeah.
And how great this space is. I really, you know, I find that, you know, the cooperation is, you know, really outstanding. I think from a cooperation and competitive sense, because I think, you know, and at the panel, I think one of the panelists was commenting on, you know, we still need to be competitive even though we cooperate. And I completely agree with that. But I kind of, you know, would make the analogy of it's, you know, in banking, it's more like war, you know, and in credit unions, it's more like the Olympics. it's a good spirited competition.
Yeah.
You do win.
Yeah.
You do want to do your best. But at the end of the day, you're gonna still maintain a friendly relationship. You're gonna walk away and enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And so, kind of a controversial question here? What can we learn from bank? What can credit unions learn from banks, or what have you taken from your banking experience and brought over to your position at the credit union? Kind of a two-part question there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you. Okay, so I'll break that into two parts.
Sure.
I mean, I think first, you know, I specifically was forced to kind of really think through that, you know, after entering here, because I think a lot of people were very, you know, one thing is that I've and that I've kind of adopted, you know, wholeheartedly myself is, you know, a tremendous sense of pride in being with a credit union and what the credit union movement is all about, and how that really, you know, is here to serve communities, serve the underserved, and really, you know, do good for all of our communities in mm-hmm. in our country.
Yeah.
And, you know, in adopting that, I mean, I really forced myself to say, people were afraid I was changing us into a bank.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I really had to have a good answer for that, one that I truly believed in. I really thought through that a lot. And the analogy I come through, you know, I came up with for that was, let's just say all financial institutions have to have a brain and a heart, right? So we have to have the same brain as a bank. We have to be able to offer competitive products and services. We need to be able to keep people's monies and finances safe. We need to be able to provide good advice. Mm-hmm. We need to establish trust. The brains have to be the same. It's the hearts that make us different.
Right.
Right. We can make decisions for different reasons, mm-hmm. for the right reasons. We're not beholden, in most cases, banks are publicly traded entities. We're not beholden to a investor across the country, or we're not, you know, just trying to eke out an extra earning per share. You know, and so our decisions are made, you know, with, you know, we have to run a profitable and strong business, mm-hmm. but we can do it in a way that truly benefits the community,
yeah.
our employees, and our membership. So I think that's the biggest difference, and that's what I try to say, you know, and when I have conversations with people that I maintain relationships with in banking, I try to use that analogy to try to help them understand,
yeah.
you know, what that key difference is. And I think, you know, kind of shifting into part two, I think one of the things that I think people are very afraid of in becoming a bank is, is being too pushy, you know, is trying to be salesy or trying to push products. And I think, you know, so I call it breaking the sale barrier. And, you know, I think the mindset here is, you know, member service means just give them what they ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, if you were to go into a doctor's office and all the doctor did was, you know, exactly what you asked, you'd say, well, what value is that person bringing to the table now? You know, you've got to ask me questions. You've got to sort of diagnose what's going on. Yeah. You've got to be able to identify if something's going on that I don't even know about. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing that we're doing here. And I think getting people to understand that by asking questions, by building a relationship, by diving deeper into conversations, it's a real win-win, because the organization is going to benefit. They're going to have a more loyal member. They're going to put more products and services in that member's bag, so to speak. But also, the member is going to walk away better. You know, they're going to have the right products and services in most instances. You know, going back to, we can make decisions for the right reasons. I mean, the one place that we always have a right to win, and no bank can beat us on, is trust. Right? They can undercut rates. They can always take us on a product or service. Mm-hmm. They can do rewards programs, but they can't break. We can't be beat on trust.
Right.
So, you know, if we're having those conversations, you know, I'm okay if we tell them that there's a better home equity loan across the street, but we've got to be able to ask them about that and know if they need and know what they need. And in most cases, we're going to have the best product. We're going to have the best rate.
Mm-hmm.
And or later on, we'll get them to come back for something else. And a tool that I brought in, I talked a little bit about this at the conference, but I used a tool at the community bank that helped drive those types of conversations. Because one thing I found, and in talking to other credit unions, I do think that there's a lot of silos in this business where, you know, one person actually opens up the account, another person provides the debit card, another person, you know, in banks you see a lot of people doing, you know, universal banker type things, like they do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So there's a need to break that silo down a little bit more. And so I brought this sort of referral tool in to help drive those conversations and give people a little added incentive to talk about other areas of the organization. But what this tool actually brought to the table that really wowed me was, it's called, what they did was they were looking at someone playing fantasy football, I think, one day, and said, well, we wish we could do that with work. And they thought, you know, actually, I think we can. So they built a way to basically have fantasy leagues within your organization. And so we have products and services built into it, but we also have volunteering in the community, public recognition of a coworker.
All right.
I told him, I said, you know, I was talking to the CEO of this company. I said, Chris, you know, you've built a cultural architectural tool. Mm-hmm. Like I can build into this system all of the things that I think we want to work on as an organization, and the points, you know, you assign points to these things, and then there's a leaderboard, and you have teams, and people are having fun with it. You know, you pick a different theme to it. So, and we've had great success with it. I've had, you know, I don't have the quote in front of me. Actually, I do. After we started this first league, we had a kickoff night, and I had someone reach out to me the next day and said, yeah, hi, Eric. I know you're probably getting bombarded with emails about last night. I just need to let you know that in my 18 plus years at Cornerstone, last night was by far the most fun I've ever had.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, the power in the tool started that day. And since then, we've had the best month ever in our investment services area. We've had a 400% improvement year over year in credit insurance products. So, I mean, that on top of the cultural shift, the people working together, we've put people on teams that don't normally work together. I'm on a team as an example. So, I mean, I think that's the kind of thing that I think, you know, you find there's a fear in that. Mm-hmm. You know, banks will do that stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Credit unions are a little bit afraid of that. And I took great caution in that. I went out and I put myself on record, and I actually have it printed and documented. No referral goals, ever. You know, I want people to know that this isn't here for, you know, referrals, or so I can measure referrals or start performance management on things. It's not about that at all. It's about breaking down barriers. It's about creating teamwork. It's about having fun.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think that things like that, there's a great opportunity for people to try that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but they have to have faith in it. You know, you look at the business, you know, the industry built around, you know, all the business books and the employee engagement books, and it's probably $1 billion industry.
Mm-hmm, in books.
And it's like you always have, you know, executives and business, you know, team leaders and everything attending these sessions, or they bring in consultants and they, you know, it's like to tick a box. But how many times do people actually ever follow that stuff and actually, you know, have faith in it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that was a great thing for me, is that I can have faith in this tool. I can say, look, it's not going to be about the numbers. It's not going to be about, you know, tracking people's performance. It's going to be about bringing in something that I know is going to improve the culture, and I know that will have an effect on the rest of the organization. So I mean, that's kind of, you know, going back and forth on the two-parter, but it's, you know, you're able to have faith in your organization from that perspective, because the scrutiny from the shareholders isn't there. And you know, if you're doing something for the right reasons, it's going to pay off in the end, from a cultural and a business perspective. And so I think that's been a really good success story for me so far.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, sometimes change is good. And it sounds like that's what you're doing at Cornerstone for sure. And it's paying off. So pretty cool. I want to switch gears to the war for talent, because there's a lot. I mean, you know, the good news is that unemployment is at all-time record lows. The bad news is it's really hard to find good talent now. So having said that, I mean, should credit unions continue to look to the banking, to the bank sector for some talent? I mean, like you coming over to credit unions, what's your take on that? Because I mean, that can be somewhat controversial as well.
Yeah, I think yes. But I think it's got to be a healthy mix. You know, I see in my organization specifically, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, there was sort of a drought in training and leadership development.
Yeah.
So one of the first things I did was I brought in a leadership coach that could help work with members of the team that were either on certain initiatives or, you know, or some of the senior team. And I wanted to start building in some of that internal, I wanted to start helping people realize their potential a little bit better. So a little bit more of an investment in there. But I do think that there's a great opportunity to bring people in from banking into the credit union space, because I see that there is somewhat of a in areas that, you know, whether it's seeing a lot of retirements starting to happen and you need to sort of bring in and fill in roles and fill in the ranks with new people. I think bankers are a great source to tap for that, but I do think you got to find the right ones.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really hard today to find someone that does things for the right reasons all the time. So I think, you know, you really need to be careful in your talent acquisition to make sure you're asking the right questions to try to dig in. What is this person? Why is this person interested in a credit union? Are they interested in for a self-serving reason? Are they looking to build their resume? Or are they truly looking to have a contribution? Are they truly looking to get closer to the community?
Right.
Are they truly excited about moving into this direction? And I think if you can answer that question, then I think, you know, all day long, I think you should be looking for bankers to come in, because I think that they can bring in a lot of best practices. Mm-hmm. They can look at things in a new way, but they just have to be there for the right reasons. And that's the tricky part. But that just takes, I think the questionnaire was a good thing for me. And making the board comfortable with me that I would be coming in for the right reasons. I've taken that approach with some of my recruiting so far. I've built out many questionnaires, depending on the level of the role that I'm looking for.
Right.
To try to drive, you know, some of that, you know, out, flush it out in the beginning.
Yeah, I think you would be the ideal person to conduct those types of interviews, because you can see it from both sides now. So you would be the perfect person to do those interviews.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a tough thing. I mean, you got to really, it's not easy, because it's funny, because I talk to a lot of people that I still maintain relationships with, and I always say, you know, you should take a look at credit unions.
Yeah.
And I know they're just, you know, it's kind of flying over their head. They're not really, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And I'm sure that they're not really taking that comment seriously.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if you can get them to take it seriously, I think they would be blown away.
Yeah, I think you got to experience it for sure. What are some growth lessons credit unions can learn from banks? I know they're kind of controversial one, because I really like your brain heart analogy. I think you're spot on there. So I mean, I'm constantly thinking about this. Okay, so what growth lessons can we learn from banks that credit unions can apply in there, and also being competitive as well, like you said earlier. You know, we've got to be competitive to a certain extent to remain relevant. You know, we got to have the technology, we got to have the rates, all that stuff. you know, the top talent. So what are some other lessons that we can learn from banks here, especially to continue our growth pattern right now?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, and I wish I had some crazy, you know, sophisticated answer for you, but I think that the real answer there is just, it's really more along focusing on the basics.
Yeah.
You know, I think one thing banks do a really good job at is making sure that their employees understand the numbers. They understand the financial situation of the organization. They understand what the goals are.
Yeah.
They understand where those goals are going to get the organization. You know the profitability. You know all the ratios. You know all the numbers. So I think that's one thing, is make sure that you're really communicating well with your internal team on what's driving the health of your organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not enough to just say, yeah, we have a net worth of 9, or our net worth is improving year over year. It's why do we have a net worth of 9? What is our reason for, you know, that level of mm-hmm. capitalization? What is, you know, what are the specific, when you dive into what's our, you know, make sure they understand how does the growth of the loan portfolio, you know, translate into, you know, into the earnings and into our ability to reinvest in the business. What are we reinvesting in?
Mm-hmm.
What are the growing costs within the organization that if we weren't growing, we wouldn't be able to cover in 3 years?
Right.
So I think if people understand that, and they understand that, wow, okay, so we actually do need to worry a little bit more about how we grow our organization. Because I think a lot of people see growth as greed, you know? And I think if you can show them that growth isn't greed, that you're either going to shrink to greatness and then eventually just evaporate,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to continue to grow so that you can cover those mounting and growing costs,
mm-hmm.
cybersecurity, IT-related costs, investing in people, investing in training, investing in leadership, investing in community awareness and education. All of these things continue to grow and mount new costs. And, you know, if we're not growing our loan portfolio, if we're not growing our asset size, if we're not bringing in more employees to help cover these things, then we're not going to be stewarding, you know, this mission for our member owners, and for our employees.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think it's just literally driving that sort of education through the organization. I mean, you can bring in the tool, like I mentioned, a tool that I brought in to help drive organic growth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's really the big thing that I see the need for.
Okay.
And those two things, bringing in the right type of tool and having the right type of education, then will allow you to reduce your reliance on external growth and external investors for growth,
yeah. mm-hmm.
Whether it be indirect lending or whether it be, you know, some fancy credit products that I've seen out there on the market that, you know, go directly to your members for you and sign them up and this and that. That stuff can be a tool that can be good, but I think, for me, I want to rely on my organic growth engine first, and then bring those things in as appropriate, because those things have an opportunity. Those things have a possibility of breaking the trust that the membership has with
mm-hmm.
you,
mm-hmm.
and so I want to keep those, you know, really tightly under control, and not just rely on those for my growth.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, I'm gonna wrap up here with you, Eric, because I know you got lots of stuff on your plate to do, so got to get back to work. So, I mean, before in one of your previous answers, you say you still have a bunch of friends on the bank side, and you try to tell them all the great things about credit unions, but it's just kind of going over their head. So, but having said that, I mean, what would you tell a banker about credit unions to educate them better about the differences? I mean, it's not just, you know, the tax status. It's not just the philanthropic efforts and stuff. What can you tell them to kind of like, hey, you know what, to kind of pique their interest? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I find people really engage well with the brain and the heart analogy. I really
do. Too.
But you know, but with bankers specifically, I think I also just say, you know, it's a more pure form of banking. I mean, we do the same stuff, but it's just a more pure form of it. So, I mean, if it's really, you know, if you feel like you are not necessarily connecting well with the why that you're doing these things,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, you're not feeling fulfilled, I think that's where the credit union space will, you know, be able to fill that gap, fill that void for you, because now you're still going to be doing the same type of thing. You know, you're still going to be able to have that, you know, thirst quenched when it comes to, you know, driving growth, or, you know, bringing in net new members, or, you know, whatever that case may be, but you're also going to feel like you're actually really helping the community. You're going to feel like you're connecting with the community, and you're really serving more of a mission. So, that's just really part of my conversation. I think I really do think that the brain and heart analogy. I haven't had anybody yet tell me that they didn't understand what I was talking about when I said that.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes back to the beginning of our conversation when you're talking about a culture. You know, credit unions don't fit everybody. Banks don't fit everybody. But if you can find somebody who will come from, you know, another sector and really buy into the whole thing like you have. So, I mean, you're a great example of that. And a lot of former bankers coming over to credit unions who have really, they're all in with credit unions. They're the ones that fit that mold, but it's not for everybody. And that's fine. You know, so a lot of people like hanging out with the banks and stuff, and a lot of people like hanging out with the credit unions. So, but it's just it's great to get your feedback because you've seen both sides of the fence. So I really enjoyed it at the conference, and this has really solidified it for me. And I just thank you for being part of the industry as well. So I just really like your thoughts and how you convey it all. And again, I think the brain heart analogy is just really, really spot on. So good stuff here for sure.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for bringing me back on. It's a fun topic to talk about.
It is. It is. I think there's a curiosity factor here that people are like, wow, okay, this can work. So it's really cool. All right. So, all right, Eric. Well, I will let you get back to work. Anything else? Any final words of wisdom to wrap up here today before you get back to work?
No, I mean, like I said, I just really enjoy being in the space. I'm thankful each and every day and grateful that I've found this and that I'm here. And I just hope to continue working with people across, you know, the entire credit union industry to continue to improve it and to get the message out.
Right on. Good stuff. Good message to end on. Eric, thanks again. Appreciate the time. Keep up the good work there at Cornerstone Community. And let's chat again. Let's do this again. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome.